The topic that we're speaking about, initially the title made some confusion. It seems like we're going to be talking about giving gifts to non-Jews in honor of their holiday, so I'm avoiding that topic. Number one, it's very confusing, and that particular topic is very difficult to get a clarity on, and that wasn't the topic I prepared, even though they chose that title. Actually, what we're going to be speaking about is the much more lucrative aspect of this question, is can you do business with Xmas-related items? The question began, I was presented this question last year. My brother has an online business that he makes needle points, you know, those that you crochet. So they print a design on needle points, and then they sell it online. So he went for advice to a small business, advisor, and the person asked him, why aren't you tapping into the holiday market? There's such a huge market of holiday images and pictures, and that you would make much more money that way. So he asked me, is there any halachic problem with that, printing holiday images and selling them, and is there any problem hashkafically with that, even if there's no problem halachically with that? So this, I got into this question, and as it turns out, this is a very historically has been quite a Jewish business, whether the Paiskim are very happy about it or not, but that has been the business end. There's actually many old Jewish jokes along these lines. The one famous one I remember, that there was a person, he was an immigrant, a Jew, and he had a very difficult time starting a business. He went to work, and he kept getting fired, and didn't work on Shabbos. He just couldn't find a line of business that worked. Finally, he came to the conclusion that the most lucrative form of business he can choose is to sell Christian religious items, crosses, and etc. So he went through the phone book looking for a supplier, and he calls up the supplier, and he says, I would like to order 1,000 golden crosses. So the person says, "Mita yozel od una yozel." So it's been a Jewish business for a while, but we'll see. It's not so simple. So we're going to be primarily discussing. There's a lot of applications to this. We got a question when I was in the Beis Hara: can you gift wrap with Xmas gift wrapping paper? And it spans across all sorts of businesses and all sorts of, even with gifting, you know, if you want to give a gift wrap and Xmas wrapping and so on and so forth, there's many different applications to this. Can you have a stamp collection with religious stamps, you know, images on it, the Last Supper, things like that? Can you own a artwork that has depictions of religious, Christian religious scene, and so on and so forth? So we'll try to touch on a lot of those things. So the way we have to approach this question is, first we have to determine, is Christianity Avodah Zarah? Is it Avodah Zarah at all? A. B. Do their religious artifacts have anything to do with Avodah Zarah? Meaning to say, does a cross, it's true, it does represent the religion, but does that make it an Avodah Zarah or not? Right, just because it represents the religion doesn't make it necessarily an artifact of Avodah Zarah. Likewise, all of the other things that come along with the religion, are those tashmishei Avodah Zarah, those things that are used to serve Avodah Zarah, those things that bring honor to Avodah Zarah? How is that perceived in halacha? So therefore, in order to first come to figure out what's the halacha with that, we have to first figure out what's the halacha with buying these artifacts. Or someone was telling me recently that he had this question that someone asked him, that he was Yairish, he inherited a huge collection from a rich uncle of various different antiques, and many of them were religious items, many of them were crosses and etc., and they had a lot of value. He wanted to sell them to cash in on them. He wasn't interested in maintaining the collection. So are you allowed to do that? So that's the first question we're going to deal with. And then from there, we'll see, how does that affect the question that we're talking about, which is creating them and selling them? So the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, this is on the first page of the packet, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, says, Hamoitzi kelim va'aleihem tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras darkoin, yelichem yam hamel. So if you find a keli, you find some sort of a vessel, and it has carved on or painted onto it a picture of the sun, which was a typical Avodah Zarah in those days, the moon, or Darkoin being a dragon, basically. That's the word for a dragon, is Darkoin. So, which was also essentially an Avodah Zarah. It was a Far East Avodah Zarah. So if you found one of these pictures on it, you are not allowed to have any benefit from it. You have to throw it in the Yam HaMelech. That's the classic way to dispose of something that no one will ever be able to have any benefit from it. You throw it into the Yam HaMelech, it stays put, doesn't go anywhere, and no one will ever have any benefit. So that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, you find these things, we assume it's a Avodah Zarah, you have to throw it away. So then the Gemara has a problem with this, that why are these the only things that are a problem? Why only these images? These are the only images that they serve. They don't serve other images. And the Gemara asks from a Mishnah in Masechtas Chulin that they serve Yamim, they serve Naharis, etc. So Abaya answers, Amar Abaya, that's the second parenthesis here, Amar Abaya, Miflach Lachol de Mishkechi Palchi. Yeah, certainly they serve any form of idol that they can get their hands on. Anything which is worth serving, they'll serve. So the Avodah, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, certainly there are many Avodah Zarahs. However, Meitzar u'Miflechi, to actually carve out an image, paint an image, put it onto a vessel and serve that vessel, or the image painted on the vessel, Lahani Tlosa de Chashivi Tzairi Luhu Palchi Luhu, these particular three, which are very important Avodah Zarahs, they take the trouble to paint them and serve them. Any other image is only made for the purpose of noi. It's only the purpose to beautify the vessel. It's a religious symbol, but it's not made for actual service. It's not made for the purpose of being an idol. It's just to beautify the vessel, and then, even though it is giving, so to speak, honor to the idol, it's beautifying the idolatry by putting this picture on the vessel, but it's not an actual Avodah Zarah. And therefore, well, maybe you shouldn't have it in your house, but you can sell it, and you don't have to throw it away. You can have benefit from it. It's not Asur Bahano. You don't have to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. So again, these specific three pictures, the sun, the moon, and a dragon, are three pictures which we have to assume, if you find it on a vessel, if you find it on a tapestry, it was created for the purpose of serving it, and it's Asur Bahano and has to be destroyed. Any other picture doesn't have that problem.
Serving it? Serving what it represents.
Or both. Now, all the pictures are that people serve what it represented. The question is, did they actually take this, right, this particular item, do we have to...
assume they're serving it?
Correct, correct. That would be the Pashita understanding of this Gemara. So now, if you'll turn, I think it's page number 5, I'll skip ahead a little bit over here, and it's the Ritva in this Gemara. if you see on tap, Ritva. So the first parenthesis here, it says, Me'ata, the Ritva says, from here we see, brings the Gemara, and he says, Tzuras Shesi Ve'erev, right? So the word in Lashon Kodesh for a cross is a Shesi Ve'erev. So Me'ata, Tzuras Shesi Ve'erev, so a cross, Shergilim Goyim L'tzayir B'Kelim Shel Kesev, that they make these, they carve into silver kalim, mutarim, those are not a problem. The afagav the tzuras shesi ve'erev nevedas ilahem, so even though a cross is an Avodah Zarah, right? So the Rav says, don't think that a cross is not an Avodah Zarah. A cross is an Avodah Zarah. So even though a cross is an Avodah Zarah, but we know for sure that they don't bow down to it when it's carved onto their spoon or onto their knives. A cross, they don't use that for service. The Ritva says, not only that, they only serve a particular cross which the minister, the pastor, was metameit. I'm not sure exactly what this means. If it means... he blessed it, obviously. But as Lashon Sagi, I don't know if it means that they had a special one they brought to him that for that purpose, or he means the big one in the church, you know, that was the one that they bowed down to or served it. Whatever it is, not the pictures, not the engravings on the kalim. Those certainly weren't the ones that they served. Therefore, it's mutter. V'zetam hetam et beis, and that's why we're allowed to use coins. The coins all had crosses or other religious pictures on them. The Havale Kedavar Bari, it's a clear thing. She'ein Nevadim, they don't serve these coins. Shehum Mutter L'Divrei HaKoyel, it's Mutter according to everybody. V'afil Al Mukhubadim K'may Shepirashno, even on Chashav Kalim, even on expensive Kalim, which would technically be assumed to be something that they would serve, no, it's still Mutter because we know for sure that they do not serve these pictures. So what we see in the Ritva is two things. What we see in the Ritva is that, yes, Christianity is Avodah Zarah, number, and also likewise, a cross is a item, an artifact of Avodah Zarah. A cross, the crosses that they do serve, the ones in the churches or wherever it is that they actually serve the cross, would be considered an Avodah Zarah, would be Aser B'Hanah, would need to be destroyed. However, the picture of a cross, the engraving of a cross, the tzuris of a cross that you find, those are not considered Avodah Zarah, because we know for sure that they don't serve them. They just serve for the purpose of beautifying the keli, beautifying the vessel. Those are not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. They don't actually serve them, and therefore it's mutter. This is the opinion of the Ritva. Now, if you'll... Yeah?
So the U.S. Mint, for example, produces a lot of coins which are not for circulation, not for monetary purposes, but they're for collectors.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that would be...
Certainly for beauty purposes. Right, like he says, coins, or okay, that would be.
About coins that are used in circulation.
You mean they have another purpose?
Right.
So you want to know if the whole purpose is just for you? Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll see if there's a difference. Okay, very good. So now, if you turn back a page, we'll see the Ran on this Gemara. Now, the Ran, there's two pieces of the Ran. The first piece, he brings down a Yerushalmi. This is an important Yerushalmi. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer al Mechubadim Asurim al Kelim Hamechubadim Shetamish Tashushim Bekavim Marim Farshla. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, if you find it on Chashav Kelim, if you find it on expensive Kelim, it's Asur. VeGarsinam BiYerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Ma Anan Kaim. What are we talking about? Im Davar Bari Sha'ibde Nevadim. If we know for sure that they bow down to these, or they serve these pictures, these particular vessels, then afilim avuzan asurim. Then what's the difference if it's a important keli, expensive keli, or a cheap keli? We know that they serve it. It's going to be asur. Ib davar bari she'ein nevadim. And if we know for sure that they do not serve these kelim, they just are for beautification purposes, afilim mechubadim mutarim. Even if it's expensive, it's going to be mutar. Elosh anan kaimen bistam. We're talking about that we don't know what they do. We don't know. We don't have any data. We don't have any information to know exactly how they treat these kelim. Do they serve them? Don't they serve them? We're not sure. Therefore, it depends on whether it's a expensive keli. We assume they do use it for service. And if it's cheap, then we assume it's not. That's what Yerushalmi says.
I'm sorry if I misunderstood, but I thought that we're talking about when you're in a place and you see a particular tzura that you don't know.
Very good.
Whether this tzura is, but not that they would worship the
very good. Okay, good. So that's what that is going to be a disagreement here between the Rashba and the Ran. I don't want to get into that because it's not so relevant to us, to our discussion here. But that is a good point. That is a machlekes over here between the Rashba and the Ran. Now, if you'll skip a couple of lines towards almost to the end of the parentheses, he says, Zehu das Rashba. This is the opinion of the Rashba. Ulafikach kasef haravzal, and therefore the Rashba said, Shekol hakelim sheyesh bem tzura shesiv erev. Any keli that has a cross on it, asurim, bein kelim uchubadim, bein kelim uvusim. The Rashba's opinion is that since we know that cross is similar to what you're saying, since we know that a cross is certainly a keli which is an Avodah Zarah, we know that a cross is considered an Avodah Zarah and a cross is something that they serve, then the Rashba, he understands this Yerushalmi, no matter where you find a cross, that vessel is going to be Aser. That's the opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba holds that a cross similar to the Ritva is an Avodah Zarah. Christianity is an Avodah Zarah. A cross is an Avodah Zarah. And he goes further. He disagrees with the Ritva. The Ritva said, you find it on coins, it's okay, because they don't bow down to coins. They put it on their forks and spoons. It's mutter. No, the Rashba says, no matter what keli it's on, it's going to be Aser. And we're going to have to understand why. But that's what the Rashba says. Again, you want to go a little further. The next second parenthesis, he repeats this. It's on the next column. So he quotes the Gemara, and then in the middle it says, "Lefikach kasev haraj bezal." I have it underlined. "Lefikach kasev haraj bezal." The bezman hazeh. Nowadays, shechokekin chakak bekelim. They make engravings in kelim. Umitzayrim behem shesi ve'erev, and they make a picture of a cross, udmus menika, or of a woman, a nursing woman. Av hamoitzi kelim, even if you find any vessel, sheesh bem dmus menika, that has a picture of this woman, shasi ve'erev, or a cross, asurim, they're all asur. Va'oid, shekein darkim, this is supposed to say be'barber, in Berber, Morocco, those places, that what they do is, letzairon besayif, they make a picture of these pictures on their swords, ubekli mechamtam, and their other weapons, umegafafin umenashkin, and they hug it and kiss it, b'shas mulchama, and therefore that is a form of service, that's a form of idolatry, and therefore they become usher all those things become us. So in other words, the Rashi is explaining to us, he's giving us a little insight on why he holds that all these pictures are us, because he holds that idolatry over here in the form of Christianity doesn't necessarily have to mean getting down on your knees and bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. It doesn't have to mean slaughtering an animal to the Avodah Zarah, pouring wine, kissing it and hugging it and talking to it and things like that, and praying to it, all are considered forms of idolatry, and therefore that form creates this cross or this sword that has a picture of a cross. It turns it into an avodah zarah. That is the opinion of the Rashi. That's why he says all kelim are suspect of being an avodah zarah, because once it has this carving, this engraving, this picture, they do treat it with respect, they do things to it, they kiss it, or they do other forms of service to show their honor to the Avodah Zarah, therefore it becomes an Avodah Zarah. Now, this is the Rashi's opinion. Akan L'Shaynoi. The Ran speaks now, but Tzarech Li even, I am not so sure about this. She'efshar She'enoiv den hayoyim l'turis halali. Perhaps they don't serve these particular tourists. Ela l'zeicher ba'alma oisen oisen. They just make it as a zeicher, they make it just as a zikaron, Lahavdal, Aleph Alpha of Dalits, people make a Magen David on various different things, Jewish religious items. It doesn't even signify anything particularly Jewish, other than that you are Jewish. So likewise, they have these crosses or these pictures just to signify that they're Christians. It's a zecher, just shows who they are, but it's not made for any purpose of serving it, and therefore it does not become an Avodah Zarah. Again, the Ran doesn't disagree that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. He agrees that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. He agrees that a cross could technically be an Avodah Zarah. But what he's saying is that these carvings that they make on their swords, on their shields, and so on and so forth, those are just made for identity purposes, just to show who they are, but they aren't made for the purpose of serving, and therefore those are not considered idols, they're not considered Avodah Zarah, and it's mutter. So what we have here in front of us now is the facts are as follows. We see from the Ran and the Rashba that Christianity is, and the Ritva, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. It is idolatry. A cross could technically be considered an Avodah Zarah, right? However, the disagreement is, how far do we go with this? Do we say that, therefore, by that token, anything that has a cross on it is going to become usur, because we can always assume that they do some form of service to it, they kiss it, they hug it, they speak to it, they'll do some form of service, therefore it's usur? Or do we say, no, those are just made for beauty, they're just made to remind themselves who they are, though they don't do anything that's actually considered idolatry, and it's only the big cross in the church that they bow down to, or the one that the Galus blessed, that's the one that's considered usur, otherwise not.
I mean, there could be differentiation within a certain... Also, there are certain types of items, for example, and the swords I referred to, these summaries for war, that's understandable, but there are other ones which are purely ceremonial, and they use for honor and for knighting people, that kind of thing.
Right, right. So that should be, maybe even the Rashi might agree. Yeah. Right, okay, so we'll see more about that as we go along. Very good. Okay, so now let's see how this plays out when you get to Shulchan Aruch. So I'm going to skip, we'll go back and see the source in a minute. First, I just want to show you what it says in Shulchan Aruch itself. Now, the problem is that there was a historical issue with censors. So if you'll take your classic edition of a Shulchan Aruch, you'll be very hard-pressed to find the word Shesi V'Erev there. They were all deleted. And it's also, I will show you in a second, you'll see that it's very obvious that it was deleted. So here I have, in the second to last page, is the original edition of the Shulchan Aruch with the Hagayis HaRamah. That's what it is. The original edition of the Shulchan Aruch, the one that the Ramah published with his glosses. And this is Simon Kuf Mamalef, Din Hatzlamim Vatzurais. So the Mechaber says, Kol Hatzlamim Ham Nimtzayim B'Kfarim Asurim, any tzelem, any picture, idol or form that you find in the cities are Asur, because they're made for Stam L'Shem Alilim Nasu, we can assume they're made for Avodah Zarah. And then he goes, whatever, he brings down the Gemara that we didn't see, not important. Now let's see the Ramah, Hagah. The Ramah says, Shesi V'Erev, Shtimishtachvim Loi, a Shesi V'Erev, a cross that they bow down to, dinoi kedin tzelem, has the halacha of a tzelem, v'asur b'loi bitl, and it's asur without a bitl, unless you break it, it's going to be asur. Abel, shesi v'erev, shetoylen b'tzavar l'zikaroin, but the shesi v'erev that they wear as a necklace, and this is a little ambiguous term, shebo mimikai meseyem, that they came from particular places, not clear what those words mean. Loi mikri tzelem umutter. That's not called a tzelem umutter. So the Ramah seems to be saying, not like the Rashi, seems to be paskening like the Ritva and the Ran. And he's saying as follows: Shesi Be'er, that they bow down to, is certainly an Avodah Zarah. And it's an Avodah Zarah, it's Asur Ba'anah. Christianity is Avodah Zarah, the Ramah says, and these crosses are also considered an Avodah Zarah. However, the crosses that they wear around their necks, that's not considered Avodah Zarah, that's just Lezecher Ba'alma, Shabom Mimikhaim is saying that they came from certain places, and that is Mutter. That's what the Ramah says. Now, look in the Shulchan Aruch, which is the next page, and you'll see how this thing actually got printed. So the top of the page, tsuras shemishtachvim loy, right? So there's an obvious word missing over there, right? Tsuras what? Right? So shesi ve'er was taken out. So tsuras shesi ve'er, it should say, shemishtachvim loy, that they bow down to, dinoy kedin tselem, it has alocha v'tselem, v'asr b'loy bitol, aval oisan, in other words, shesi ve'erevs, shetoylen b'tzavr lizikaron, that they wear around their necks for lizikaron. So here the language is a little different. It's as a reminder, Lo mikri tzelam and mutter is not called a tzelam and it's mutter, and he's quoting a Mordechai. Okay? So now it would seem that at the end of the day, what we have over here is as follows, that tzura that they bow down to, yes, that's an Avodah Zarah, the one they wear around the neck is not. Now, let me take a minute just to let's understand. Why would the Christianity be considered Avodah Zarah? In other words, yes, it's Avodah Zarah, they're serving, you know, Yashka, there's no question that's Avodah Zarah. But why would the cross be an Avodah Zarah? The cross is just a symbol. They're not actually bowing to the cross, they're bowing to Yashka. Why would the cross turn into an Avodah Zarah? So there's a tshuva of Bate Kahuna, a very early tshuva, and he discusses this. And he says, really, in truth, every idol was like that. They never bowed down to the particular piece of wood or gold, they were bowing down to the spirit, to the force. So that thing in nature that caused that, the malach or the sun or whatever it was, it wasn't the particular idol. Through bowing down to the image, they felt that they were connecting somehow to the force or the spirit or the Avodah Zarah. So likewise, he says, in the cross, it's the same thing. They're bowing down to the cross, and through that, they feel like they're connecting to their Avodah Zarah. He says, you could still say perhaps it's different, because they're not really even bowing down to the cross. The cross is just there to remind them, and then they're bowing down straight to their Avodah Zarah, but he says, it's close enough that we don't make a difference. The fact that they're bowing down in front of the cross, and the cross represents this particular spirit, it's close enough that we consider the cross itself an Avodah Zarah. He goes in Arichos about this, it's very interesting. He goes through various aspects, how you could view Christianity, but his conclusion is like we see in Halacha and Old Jewish Yishayinim, that Christianity is considered Avodah Zarah, and likewise crosses are.
Who is that?
This is a Bate Kahuna. Shalos and Shuv is Bate Kahuna.
When is that from?
I think it's just about the same time as the Shach. Very early, 16th century. 17th century. Now, the Shach over here on this Ramah makes a disclaimer. He says, you don't think that the Ramah means like the Ran and the Ritva. In other words, the Ramah said that you're wearing this necklace that has a cross, that's Mutter. He says, that's a mistake. The necklace with the cross is Aser. The Ramah is talking about that you know the necklace was never served, the necklace was never bowed down to. But if you find the necklace with the cross, the Ramah also agrees it's Aser. The Ramah really holds like the Rajba. Ramah holds that all things with crosses and engraven images of crosses are Aser. This that the Ramah says is Mutter is talking about a brand new cross that was just manufactured, just came off the machine. You know no one ever served this. That's Mutter. That's all the Ramah is talking about. This is what the Shach says.
But that would then imply anything because it came off the industry manufactured.
That's true.
Sold.
It would. It certainly would. Yeah, but he says, but anything that you, if a person inherited a cross necklace, that would be Aser. Right? Why is it Aser?
No.
Okay, so that's a very good question. I'll get that in a second, right? Okay, but in any case, this is what the Shach says. The Shach says that we're misunderstanding the Ramah. The Ramah really holds that all crosses, all graven images, forks, knives, spoons, tapestries, everything is Aser, unless you know for sure that it is going to, as unless you know for sure that it is that it wasn't served. Otherwise, it's Aser. Now, I'll get back to the Shach in a minute, and we'll see. There's a lot that can be learned from the Shach, especially relevant to our question. But before that, let's say we stop over here. Okay, so now we've determined the halacha. We know Christianity is Avodah Zarah. We know crosses are Avodah Zarah. We know all religious artifacts that were served are considered Avodah Zarah, and perhaps even all religious artifacts that aren't sure if they were served, we assume they were served. Fine. So when you get this inheritance from your uncle, you have to trash it. Sorry. That's good. But that's not relevant to us. Here, we're doing something else. Our question was, what about producing it? A jeweler wants to produce crosses, a big part of the business. People want to produce images that are related to Christianity, the Last Supper, there are things like that. They want to produce it and sell it. Now that, technically, shouldn't be a problem. My uncle, Oliver Shalom, he worked a wholesale carpet and retail carpet business. So early on in his profession, you know, he got a big job from a church to carpet the floor. So he went to the Debrecina Rav Zatzal and asked him, "Is that okay? Are you allowed to do that?" So the Debrecina Rav said, "Nemen megven alamol nemen." You could always take money from them. Can't give them things, but you could take money. That you could always do. So then he asked him, "But I have to get down on my knees to put down the carpet." So he said, "Just face the other way." He allowed him to do it. But in any case, yeah.
When you talk about Last Supper.
Yeah.
Is there a difference because he himself is on there?
Yeah, certainly. That certainly makes things worse. We'll see in a second, right.
There's also two different types of crosses, like there's some that have an image on the cross.
Correct. And that could be even worse.
That's even worse.
That could possibly be even worse, correct.
Do you have an extra set of
materials? They're all in the Vismedrish. All in the Vismedrish, on the Bima. But I'm basically finished with those, so. I'm basically done with them. So, okay, in any case, so technically it should be fine to produce them en masse. They're certainly not of a desire when you're producing them, and to sell them, right? That shouldn't be an issue. That should be okay, right? Over here we're talking about when you're buying them, you're assuming they're of a desire, fine. Selling them, that should be okay. Oh, this brings us to where all the Tshuva Svarim jump in. Now, apparently it's interesting that the majority of Tshuva Svarim that discuss this inyan all come from one localized area in Europe, namely Hungary. Now, I don't think that the business was particular to Hungary more than was anywhere else, but the Hungarian Paiskim definitely took big issue with it. I didn't. There are many tshuvas written about them, all Hungarian Paiskim. So the first who speaks about it is a Maram Shik. Maram Shik is discussing a cipher, someone who's a cipher stam, cipher of a cipher tire. Now, it's good handwriting, right, and it's good at calligraphy, and he was hired by a funeral home to engrave the tombstones, the crosses, with the names and so on and so forth. So he had to produce and engrave these crosses. So he is totally horrified by this, the Maram Shik. let's read you his language over here. He's very, very upset at the concept. What does he say over here? He says, "Halhine lemishma oizen dava nafshenu." We hear such a thing that our hearts go out. Eich shari lemehavi safra a cipher kepachzaya, like someone who's just over averus. La havdul ben a kodesh ben a choyle ben a tamer ben a taraksiv. He's not very. He starts off ready. You know, you see where this is going. He's not excited about this. So he says as follows. He says a fascinating thing. He says that the people ask a kasha on this shach. Right, the shach said that we're only talking about that you know for sure that the cross was never served. That's where the Ramah says you can wear it. So there's two questions you can ask on the shach. First of all, one question you can ask on the shach is, what's the chiddush? So of course, why does the Ramah have to tell me that it's mutter? Of course, if you know that it wasn't served, it's mutter. The Ramah needs to tell you that. Ramah says, the crosses that they hang on their around their necks that you know they never served is mutter. Well, of course it's going to be mutter if you know it was never served. That's one question. Secondly, he says, we have a klal that avodah zarah shel goy aser miyad. If a goy creates an avodah zarah, it's aser immediately, even before he serves it. So if the Ramah holds and the Shach holds that a cross is eventually they're going to serve it, they're going to kiss it, they're going to do things, so then what's the question? Then immediately as soon as it's made, it should be considered an avodah zarah. He's addressing this problem. So he says, his answer to that question is that the shach is answering is that there's two different uses for this particular necklace, right? So there's a use that they, you know, use it as just a identity purpose, lezuchin shabo mi to usam, and then there is a usage that they serve it, they kiss it, and etc., and so on and so forth. So the way he understands, the way the Maram Shik understands, is that any form of honor given to the Avodah Zarah will be considered Avodah Zarah. If they create an Avodah Zarah for the purpose of honoring the Avodah Zarah is to give honor, and any purpose like that will already be considered Avodah Zarah. And the Kozim Agareba and Divrei Yitziv goes on to say that even just for identity purposes will also be considered Avodah Zarah. And the way he understands, the Rama is talking about means that these crosses were distributed, like, you know, lahavdol by chasana, they distribute benchers, you know, a memento from this occasion. They were talking about they were some sort of event and it distributed crosses as a memento of the occasion. That's what it's talking about. Those crosses are mutter. That's all the Ramah is speaking about. And the Ramah's chiddush is that that's not already, that itself is not considered an avodah zarah. Any other form of giving kavod to the avodah zarah, any other form is considered making an avodah zarah for the purpose of being served, and because if they're going to kiss it, if they're going to honor it, if they're going to use it to identify themselves as Christian, to give honor to their avodah zarah, all those go under the blanket klal of considering an avodah zarah. All those would be enough to create this cross into an idol, to give it the status of an idol, and be asur bahana. Therefore, the Maram Sheikh says, if you are going to produce crosses, and those crosses are going to be sold to Goyim for the purpose of kissing it or praying to it or identifying themselves as Christians, which all of those are considered a form of Avodah Zarah, and any one of those actions are, you're either Chayav Miso or you're over Alav, you're over one of the Averis of Avodah Zarah, if you do any of those actions, then by creating an item as such, you're creating an Avodah Zarah. There's an Issur D'oraisa of Lo Sason came. Of Lo Sason, you're now allowed to make an Avodah Zarah, now to create an Avodah Zarah. So being that you're creating something which will be used for these purposes, and we see in the Paiskim that those usages constitute Avodah Zarah, you are wearing it for the purpose of identifying yourself as a Christian constitutes Avodah Zarah. Kissing it and praying to it constitutes Avodah Zarah and renders it an Avodah Zarah. Then you, by making it for that purpose, are essentially being over the aver of making an Avodah Zarah. Now the tshuva of them, just add a point, the tshuva Saruvas Abaisim, also pre-war in Hungary, writes that even if, let's say, you know for sure that these particular items generally are not used for any form of service, right? You're making it on spoons, on forks, you know that no one kisses and hugs their spoons and forks. But he says, you're producing hundreds and thousands of them. He says, if even one person uses it for it, you are over that avera. You created an avodah zarah. So he says, once you're making large-scale production of crosses and religious artifacts, and it's possible that they can be used, that some of them will be used and for service, and some of them will, you know, when he's stuck in his foxhole, he'll take out whatever he has on hand to pray to it, then retroactive, you have been over the isser of avodah zarah. So this is a very stringent way to approach it. But this is the way he approaches it. Like I said, they weren't very excited about this particular form of business, and this is the approach they took to it. So, in other words, we've established that it is Avodah Zarah. We've established that it is an item of Avodah Zarah, a cross, if you serve it. Now we've come to the conclusion, and the Rashi really said this, that even kissing it and hugging it, praying to it, any form of honor you give to it already is enough to render it into Avodah Zarah. And now we've taken the last step, creating it for that purpose is an Issur D'oraisa of making an Avodah Zarah, even though it hasn't become an Avodah Zarah yet. Now, what about, that's a cross, fine, a cross, they pray to, we know that. What about a tapestry with an image on it, right? With, you know, one of those pictures on it. That shouldn't technically be an Avodah Zarah. So that is a Minchas Al-Azhar, Minchas Sharabah. Oh, he discusses that. And he says, well, he's seen many times that the farmers in his town, they walk past an image like that, they take off their hat, they say something, or they don't, or they stop, and they meditate, and then they walk further. So he says, even images are considered a problem, and he's talking about this particular person who's selling tapestries, and he doesn't allow that either. Now, good. Fine. So then you made a very beautiful tapestry and artwork. It is meant for that purpose, to give honor and, you know, to bring people to think about their religion. Good. But what about when it's something which has really no, you know, has no particular meaning to it? For example, on a stamp, right? Or on a coin. A person has a stamp collection. So that Rav Moshe talks about. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about having a stamp collection which many of the stamps have images on it. And that, Rav Moshe says, is not a problem. He says it's not being served, it's not meant for the purpose of being served, you're not whole. He says you can maintain such a stamp collection. Not only that. Not only can you create stamps and sell them, you can even buy such stamps and have them. Those stamps were most certainly never made to be served. No one ever served them. You're not giving any honor. So in Ramesh's case, it's interesting because you have a whole stamp collection, right? So you're not really doing anything specific. Happens to be some of the stamps have some pictures on them. So you're not giving any particular covet, you're not giving any particular honor to the Christian religion by having stamps that have their images on it. It's just part of your greater stamp collection. So that's Pashut why Rav Moshe holds that even hashkafically there's no problem with that. Where the issue would arise is, let's say you don't, it's not a part of a large collection, you do have one particular image, even if you know for sure it wasn't served, but it's being produced particularly for that reason, like let's say my brother's case where he's producing these images, you know, these Xmas images with trees and so on and so forth, on a needlepoint, maybe that hashkafically won't be as good. Now halachically speaking, hashkafically I'm not sure, but halachically speaking, in my brother's case, where you just pick up, you're creating an image of an Xmas image. Now those are really by now mostly secular, right? They're not even really so religious, right? You find them on the soda bottles. Shalom is going to be selling soon Pepsi with, you know, green and red and all sorts of other things on them. So those aren't even really identified as religious anymore, so much as it's a holiday, people have off, they give gifts, and maybe they do have some religious affiliation, maybe not. Even without any religious affiliation, they still celebrate it because, you know, it's a day off and they like it. So it has lost a lot of its meaning and has become much more a marketable concept. Bechlal, all these things, you know, the colors and that particular guy in red and white is a recent invention. It's not something which is an old, you know, standing Christian custom. It's just a marketing ploy mostly. That's why it's become so famous. So we can consider those mostly secular, and then that shouldn't be a problem. So using Xmas wrapping paper, you know, the colors, and using basic images of trees and snowflakes and whatnot and gifts, that technically should not be an issue because A, they're not meant to be served, they're mainly secular, even though they do represent, but they don't necessarily represent religion in a religious form, it just represents the holiday, which is not even so religious necessarily, at least in the form of gifts and in marketing ploys. It's not connected with religion. So halachically speaking, those should be permitted because it won't fit into any of these categories. However, once a thing has a cross or an image like that, which is already directly related to their religion, then you start getting into this question. Now, I don't think if you have crosses on wrapping paper that there's any chashash any person will ever serve that wrapping paper is meant to be thrown away in the garbage. So I would imagine that's okay. You know, that shouldn't be a problem. Again, even with all the chashashes that these paiskim have, that they're going to be served, they're going to give cover to it, I don't think that would apply to wrapping paper or something which is essentially a throwaway item. So that also would technically be permitted. Now, as far as the hashkafa goes, that's a good question. I'll just read you a little bit of the lashon over here of this the Divrei Yatziv, that's the Klozenberg Rebbe. He says, "Amna mimkay meisenu, in our place, nahagu iser bezat me azu mitamid." They were always naig iser in this particular business. V'Yisrael kedoshim, and the heiliga klal Yisrael mashchu yedeim milasik b'avodah zarah. They withdrew their hands from being oisik in avodah zarah, umisham sheyem, and the various different things that are involved with avodah zarah. V'tamei tamei yikra, and they consider it tamei. U'befrat, and specifically, there's no problem of hatred. He has plenty of stores where he can buy his crosses at. Someone who brings into his store pictures of Shesiv Erev, having together Mashinemar, he'll be included in the Pasuk. Don't bring a Ta'eva, disgusting thing, or a Vedazara into your house, or you'll become destroyed as it. And he quotes a Sefer Chasidim. Sefer Chasidim says likewise that anybody who ever was busy with these forms of business never maintained his money. Any money he made from it, always, historically, he lost his money. That's what Sefer Chasidim says. So to summarize, what we've said is as follows. We've established in the Rishonim and in the Paiskim that Christianity is certainly an Avodah Zarah. We've established that a cross is an Avodah Zarah. At least everybody agrees the cross, which is in the church that they bow down to, is certainly an avodah zarah. We've also seen that the Rashba and other Rishonim, they hold that even a cross that they kiss and they hug and they talk to, that also is considered an avodah zarah. even though typically it's only used for remembrance, it's only used for identification. No, it's still considered an Avodah Zarah. We've seen that the Ramah is a little ambiguous. The Ramah certainly says the one in the church is an Avodah Zarah, but the one on the neck, he seems to say, is not an Avodah Zarah, but then the Shach interprets to mean, no, really, it is an Avodah Zarah. He's talking about a different type of necklace, the type that's just used for a memento or whatever. That's what the Ramah is saying is not an Avodah Zarah, because you know for sure it was never Nevad, but any other one, you'll assume it was, and it's Aser. And then we took the next step, and we saw that being that these doing these actions is considered Avodah Zarah, and renders the items of Avodah Zarah, creating them and selling them to Goyim, who are going to use it for that purpose, you'll be over the Avera of making an Avodah Zarah. The Lois say in the Torah, you're not allowed to create an Avodah Zarah. So being that, and if you create them, especially in large numbers, where it's inevitable that many of them will be used for Avodah Zarah, you are either there's a possibility you'll be over this Avera of creating Avodah Zarah to be used for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. And this is seems, like I said, all the Paiskim that wrote about it were very upset about it, and they answered it. Like I said, they're very much limited to one region. I do know that many people do have this business, and obviously there's a number of Paiskim that hold that it's mutter. And, you know, I haven't seen so many Tshuvas that say it's mutter, but could be that it's a chiddush. It is somewhat of a chiddush, right? It is a stretch to some extent to say that, you know, you're producing them for the purpose, you're not producing it for the purpose of being served, you're producing them just as jewelry. Just because some people will use it for that doesn't make retroactively that you are the one that made an Avodah Zarah. So there is room to debate this. But again, they held that it's a problem, and hashkafically speaking, they were very upset about it as a whole, and they felt that such a thing doesn't belong in a Jewish home or in a Jewish business, and they felt that that it's not good for business. Have a good day.
They place Gorg in Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. They have a building that they bought from the church.